My topic is called, don't let anyone steal your bee. Okay, the blessing. Let's open our Bible to Genesis. That's the first book of the Bible, chapter 25, verse 29. We're going to have good Bible study type of service today. Okay, because we need to learn what steals our bee, or the blessing. Okay, if you are a Christian, you are blessed by God. But there are forces out there that are focused on stealing your blessing in your life. I don't know if you know that, but Bible says in the beginning God said, be fruitful and multiply. But before that, the first thing God said, be blessed. That's the first thing God said to people. What is blessing? To us, a blessing is like when somebody sneezes, we say, oh, God bless you. Really doesn't mean anything, because God bless you has lost its meaning. But really, blessing is a force. Okay? When you say to somebody, I love you, that releases a special force from you to that person. Love is a force. Wisdom is a force. Blessing is a force. The first thing God ever released, the first thing a man heard, was be blessed. And then be fruitful and multiply in all these things. Okay, so God wants believers to be blessed. How does it apply to us now? Because as you know, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they sinned, the blessing was diminished. It didn't go away, but became smaller. Because the more sin increases in a person's life, the more curse increases in your life. And when curse increases, the blessing decreases. Listen, you cannot be blessed and cursed at the same time. The more you're blessed, the less you're cursed. Okay? When people say, well, I'm just decided to live a little bit in sin for a while. You know what they really say? They say that I decided to live in a curse. See, a lot of us use that phrase, oh, I'm going through something. How many of you heard that? How many of you use that? Really, when you say that, a lot of people are just saying, well, I chose to jump into the river of curse for a while. But I'm going to be back. You know, I'm going to get out of it. And a lot of times we use nice words to make us feel good. You know, you can't say, well, I'm cursed right now because I'm, you know, going against the will of God. Or you can't say, well, I'm living in sin right now. So what people came up with, they came up with a phrase that makes them feel better. I'm just going through something. Okay? And a lot of times, what I want to recommend to the New Life Church is that you don't use on yourself nice words. Bible says, judge yourself. Okay? And a lot of times, we don't judge ourselves. We make ourselves okay. And after a while, we begin to believe it. Okay? But God wants His people to be blessed. That's the first thing He spoke. So, the reason for my message is for you to be blessed. So, no one will steal that anointing from you. Okay? Now, let's read Genesis 25:29. Ready? Now, Jacob cooked a stew. And Esau came. Esau is his brother. Came from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom, or Red. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Okay. Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew and lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Then Esau despised his birthright. Okay? Now, let me go farther. Let's turn a page forward into chapter 27, verse 18. Okay, now Jacob, his youngest brother, and let me give you a little story before we go into this, okay? Because not a lot of you know this. The country of Israel started with one guy and one girl, one woman. Okay, it was Abraham and Sarah, right? They had a son at
age of 100. His name was Isaac. Isaac married Rebecca, and they had twins. And those twins were Esau and Jacob. Now, we all know Jacob because he stole the blessing, the birthright. Okay? So, Jacob and Esau was born, you know, together. Esau was the oldest, and then a few minutes later came Jacob. In the culture that they were living in, by the ancient tradition, oldest son was to receive most of the inheritance that the father had, and most of all, he was to receive the blessing. Now, how did a blessing work? A blessing worked like this. Before the father would die, he would call his eldest son, and he would put his hands on that eldest son and would release the blessing upon him. Well, in this case, Jacob knew that there is no way that he's going to get blessed because he's not the oldest. And by birthright, it belongs to somebody else. Remember, Bible says, desire greater gifts. So Jacob, although tricky, although stealing, but he was desiring more. He knew that there was a blessing working on Esau, and he wanted it. Whatever Esau did, he was successful in. Now let's learn about more who Esau and Jacob was. Turn back to chapter 25, verse 27. I want to give you the history so all of you know this. So boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man. Mild, you know, whatever that means, mild man. Esau was hot, and Jacob was mild. And look what it says, verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah, that's the mother, loved Jacob. Jacob was a mama's boy, you know. He was always by mama. And you know, the pride of a father is the strong hunter, mighty hunter, Esau. Plus, Bible says Esau was so hairy. There's no way women like, well, anyway, in our generation, they don't like hairy men too much. Used to be the hairy man was, it was in. Now it's kind of like a get a wax, yeah. So that's the story of Esau and Jacob. Let's just continue and let's go to chapter 27, verse 18. Genesis 27, 18. And this is now the last days of Isaac. That's the father who was supposed to bless. And he says to his oldest son, he says, go and get me, kill something wild and cook me something so my soul may bless you. Okay? Notice there's a principle here. If you want to be blessed from that person, you got to touch their heart. You got to touch their soul. He didn't say, come, I'll just bless you. No, he says, feed me good so my soul may bless you. So I don't just speak the words, but I feel them. My faith comes out of it, okay? That's just a little bit, little part. And so here this mighty hunter gets his bow, gets his whatever, spear, and he goes hunting. And while he goes hunting, Jacob, the younger brother, a few minutes younger, he hears about this. And his mother says, listen, I want you to be blessed. So she says, I'll cook you a nice goat, young goat that the father loves, and you'll take it to him. And Jacob is smart. He's like, but wouldn't father know that I'm not hairy? Hairy? She's like, that's okay. We'll take some goat skins and put them on your arms and put them on your neck. And when the father feels you, that's Esau. Yeah, he was hairy. I mean, he was really hairy. Anyway, let's read 18. So, this is Jacob went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? So father is really old, okay? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Look at him, lying now. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat my game. That's like food, whatever I, you know, shot up there. That your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? I mean, you just left. So father is like, hey, you just left. How could you get it so fast? Look at this liar. Jacob was called a trickster or a liar. That was his name. And he says, but Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God brought it to me. He was like, oh, the Lord was on my side. That's why I was so quick in shooting that deer or whatever. Yeah, the Lord is with me, you know? Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you're really my son Esau or not. Wow. His father is still, I mean, he's old, he's blind, but he's not stupid. He's like, come here, I want to feel you, you know, because it sounds like Jacob. Verse 22. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is the Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So he was still hearing good. Okay? And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like the brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Then he said, are you really my son? And he said, I am. He said, bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate. And he brought him wine, and he drank. Verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of the clothing. And he blessed him, saying, look at the blessing now. Look how short it is. Surely I smell my son is like the smell of the field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. That would be now Esau. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. That's it. Do you know that we have the power to bless as believers? It doesn't have to be a prophecy. You have an ability to bless people. And Bible says, those who bless us will be blessed, and those who curse us will be cursed. Notice a short prophecy, or a short blessing. But then look what happens. Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, the youngest son. Jacob had scarcely gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, then Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. And look at this. He also have made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat his son's game that your soul may bless me. And his father said to him, who are you? He said, I am your son, firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. And so Esau started crying. He said, oh, but remember, he sold his birthright. So it was right for Jacob to be blessed. And for what? For a little bit of soup? Selling that much? And now he started crying to the father. He says, father, bless me, please. Don't you have another blessing for me? And father goes, I could bless you, but it's not going to be the blessing. It's going to be another blessing. And look what he said. The second blessing. Then Isaac, his father answered and said to him, behold, this is the blessing. Your dwelling shall be a fatness of the earth. That's kind of good. And the dew of heaven from above. That's good. By your sword you shall live. Ow. So meaning you're going to be a man of war. Okay? And you shall serve your brother. Oh. Now this is the old. I mean, this is a blessing, but you don't want this kind of blessing. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. And history tells us that Esau is right now Muslim nation. And now Muslim nation hates Jacob's nation.
which is Israel.
Esau was supposed to be the lineage where Christ was going to come. He was supposed to be Israel. But because he despised it, he said, what is this birthright to me? He lost it all. Now let's go and learn some points out of this. And we already talked about who was Esau, right? And let's talk about some principles that we can learn from Esau. In point number one, Esau was moved by the flesh. When he came home from hunting one day, this was before the blessing part. He came home from hunting, he was really hungry. And here Jacob, you know, at home cooking some red, meaning meat. And Esau was like, give it to me or I'm going to die. What's this birthright to me anyway if I'm going to die? A lot of people who are moved by the flesh, they're willing to give up something great for something very little. And today my question will be, what will you give up for your blessing? Or maybe what are you giving up already for the blessing? Because every one of us has that firstborn, first son anointing through Jesus Christ. We're all close to Him, His brethren. And there is a blessing that God has prepared for all of us. But Satan is so crafty, he will steal your blessing. He doesn't want you to have it. So you can be his servant and not the servant of God. Hallelujah. Now let's keep talking. Now, his body was tired. He didn't take lunch with him. He smelled a stew that Jacob cooked. And he wanted it so bad, so he was willing to sell his birthright. He was moved by the flesh. The reason people give up their blessing knowingly, because they don't believe it's worth anything. Why do so many people, when they're moved by the flesh, because Esau was moved by the flesh, I'm hungry. You could say I'm lonely. You could be, oh, I'm thirsty, and the water will not do. Diet Coke will not do. I am stressed. I am pressed on the inside. I need a drink, a cold one. What will you give up? Because Satan will always offer you something small. He says, 5 minutes of pleasure, not even there. But he will always take something in return. Listen, Satan will always take something in return. And in return, he will take the birthright, the blessing from you. And you know what? A lot of people wonder, why is my life not going the way it should? Because you given up your blessing. You're giving it away. Let me continue. Just be patient with me. There's an answer here. Hallelujah. So the reason people sell their birthright, and for what? For a little bit of soup. For a night of wild fun that you will pay for the rest of your life. Okay? The reason they sell it, because they don't believe it's worth anything. We really, you know, we can say that, oh, we love God. We can say, well, I fear God. But really, the actions show if we love God or if we fear God. And if we don't fear God, we will always be trapped by this little transaction with the devil. You can give up your virginity, young people. You can give up your innocence. For what? For a fake promise. Come on. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be so clear. Most churches won't tell you this, guys. They will tell you, God will bless you doesn't matter what. That's a lie. That's a lie. God will not bless you doesn't matter what. Because if you can choose, the Bible says choose blessing or cursing, life or death. Well, that's you. You have a choice in your life. So if you choose curse, don't expect to be blessed. And I want New Life Church to choose the blessing of God. And not sell it for anything. Doesn't matter what this world offers us. We're going to be blessed. Bible says at the end, there will be difference between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. Because in the beginning, it doesn't look like there is a difference. Even David said this. You know, he said, you know, I'm serving you, God. I'm sacrificing so much. And then I look at the wicked and they prosper. What's up, God? And then he says, While I was complaining, I noticed that the wicked was gone, and he was no more. There was no trace of him. Why? Because wicked don't inherit the earth. The righteous inherit the earth. The blessed are the ones who inherit the earth. Because cursing is drying up. It's killing, stealing, and destroying. So every time you choose to go through something, you choose to. Now, there's legitimate situations when we go through things. Okay? But every time you choose to go through something, I'm talking about the curse, you're stopping the blessing of God from flowing in your life. Every time I do the same thing. Let's keep going. Pastor Alex, but you don't understand. I was going through something. I needed a warm comfort of a woman. I was lonely. It's winter. Thank you. I needed a man in my life. Well, you can have that, loser. But don't go crying to God and say, God, why are you not blessing me? Because the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. Okay? So, I was so pressed on the inside, I needed a cold one to relieve myself. How many of you have been pressed so hard where I felt this way many times before? I've had my moments. But what I want to tell you, you can make a cold one your crutch. Every time you're going through something or you're pressed on the inside. How many of you ever felt this heaviness on your heart just weighing you down? You know what would be easiest, right? Just go get a beer. Just go get something and it'll relax you for a while. Don't make it your crutch. Don't become dependent on it. Okay, let's keep going. Don't allow the cold one or Budweiser to control your life. Whenever something controls our life, we become dependent on it. Okay? Dependent people are not free people. Listen to me. Dependent people are not free people. They do what their dependency demands. If you are dependent on God, then He demands, come closer to me. When you're dependent on alcohol, it will pull you in. It will control your life. Bible says, be led not by the flesh, not by the works of the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. And if you're led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill desires of the flesh. Now, it's easier said than done. Obviously, I know that.
Young ladies, young men, you can choose to give it up. You can choose to give yourself to a husband or a wife. Or you can choose to give yourself up and lose that blessing. Listen. God has a perfect plan for us. We can choose His plan, or we can choose less perfect. That's ours.
Bible says that counsel of ungodly will rob you of your blessing. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man or a woman who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in a seat of the scornful. Who do you go for counsel to? If you go to counsel with somebody, oh, there's this hot girl that showed interest in me. She likes talking to me. She's texting me. Oh, she wants to go out, blah, blah, blah. Or there's this cute guy. Oh, he's paying so much attention to me. Who are you asking for advice what you should do? You can go to a friend who's ungodly. And guess what kind of advice will they give you? They will give you ungodly advice. And you will do what they say and you will lose your blessing. Listen to this again. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of ungodly. Whoever you hang around with, that's what you will become like. So if you want to be blessed, hang around with blessed people. Get counsel from who? Bless people. Don't feel intimidated. Yeah, they might tell you something you don't like, but it will be the truth and it will set you free. Or they'll tell you, yeah, go ahead, girl. Yeah, you know, he's so hot. Oh yeah, I would have him myself.
Oh yeah, you know, just go for him. Yeah, he's not a Christian. Yeah, he's a womanizer. Yeah, he's a player. And, but you know, he's so cute. You know, you can change him. Aren't you a strong Christian? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And besides, doesn't God love you? Oh, don't worry about the blessing part Pastor talked about selling it. You'll get it back, you know. Oh, look, so many people I know, you know, that's how you get a testimony, girl. You go and become a slut and that's how you're going to be. No hurt intended. Just, I'm sorry about that. Maybe the choice of word, but not for what I believe. Yeah, God will forgive you. Listen, God will forgive you. But look at Samson. Look at this powerhouse. I mean, just catching 300 fox. Have you ever tried catching one fox? This guy catches 300 fox. I mean, did he get into a foxhole or something? Ties their tail together, sets it on fire, and burns the field. And then he takes the gates of the city and puts them on his back and back and takes them like 3-4 miles away and puts it on the mountain. Strong, positive man, right? He had a little problem. He decided to play exchange money with Delilah. Or with prostitutes. Good-looking women. Pretty ones. Those who know what to say at the right time. And he goes and he had this great purpose for his life. And he decides to give it away for a woman. I mean, not just any woman, Delilah. Famous one. Famous in all the world now. And notice how he dies. He doesn't die blessing his sons. He doesn't have any children. He doesn't pass his lineage to somebody else. I mean, wasn't there enough Jewish women? Jewish women are pretty. Yeah, they are. I've been in Jerusalem. I wasn't married then, but and he dies without his eyes. And he dies kind of in shame. Yes, he did accomplish his purpose. Because God always accomplishes his purpose. Then he dies. Look at King Saul, how he died. Bible doesn't say if he went to hell or heaven. We don't know. We'll only find out in heaven. I mean, this was a chosen man of God. But there's people like Peter. He denied Christ. He pretty much abandoned him. And there was forgiveness. Now you have a choice today. You have a choice to continue to live the way you've been living. If you are living this way. Trading your blessing for whatever your flesh desires. You can trade it for pornography. You can trade it for women or men. You can trade it for gambling and alcohol and drugs. For whatever you want, that's your life, that's your choice. Bible gives us a choice. But I'm just saying this to you. That there is a better life. And most of us are so young here. That we can choose and have a good life with God. You're going to have a bad life with God. The good life, you know. Because that's what He came. He said, I've come to give you life. Or you can continue to exchange the blessing for something else. The cool thing about God and Christ, that we can have a new beginning today. A lot of us are praying, saying, God, you take away this lust. What, do you want to be impotent? Don't say that. God, don't tell God, take away this lust. Say, God, help me control this. I got a fruit of self-control. I don't want you to take away my drive, if you know what I mean. Still a young person here. Don't ask God to take it away. Say, God, help me control it. Because I'm the master of my flesh. Not Satan. And I will not be driven by my flesh, by my lust, by any type of seduction. I choose to present my body as a living sacrifice to you, Lord. And the Lord says, I'll promise to restore you. Now, a lot of you, you're young people. The great news is you got a whole life ahead of you. And maybe if you messed up and before, there is always forgiveness. There is always restoration. And God says, come unto me and I will give you new life. I'll give you rest. And then God says something else. God says that I will use your previous life, your experience, for the glory. Don't just think that what Satan done in your life is just going to be a shame for in your life forever. God will make it into testimony. God will make it. Now many people say, well, I'm living this way so I could get a testimony. Listen, let God be God and you be you. Your responsibility is to live the best you can. God's responsibility to take even your mistakes and turn them into testimonies. Last thing I want to do is bring condemnation on people or guilt, because it's not from God. Condemnation and guilt is not from God, but godly sorrow is from God. That's what I want to do. I want to bring up godly sorrow. Because Bible says, godly sorrow leads to repentance. Hallelujah.